Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Veedma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 6 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered how the HPG axis works, the brain-testes connection explained. Today, we're getting into medications that lower testosterone in men. That last episode matters here, because once you understand the HPG axis, this whole topic stops feeling random. A lot of men assume low testosterone means the testes are failing. Often they aren't. Often the problem is that the brain has turned down the signal, and a medication, a substance, or a lifestyle pattern is sitting on that signal like a heavy boot. That distinction changes treatment completely. The mistake I see almost every week is a man focusing on the testosterone number alone. Maybe he got one low result from an afternoon lab draw. Maybe he feels terrible and wants a fast answer. Fair enough. But low testosterone is not a number by itself. Male hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome. You need persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence of deficiency. One without the other is not enough. Last month, I reviewed outside labs from a man in his early 40s. He had fatigue, lower libido, worse recovery in the gym, and a total testosterone that came back low. He was ready to jump straight to testosterone. Then we looked at the context. The lab was drawn later in the day, he had slept badly, he was getting over an illness, no LH, no FSH, no free testosterone measured correctly. In other words, a lot of confidence built on very little information. So we slowed down. At Veedma, we test in the morning from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the fasting state, and we repeat it when needed. We prioritize free testosterone because hidden testosterone deficiency can be missed when total testosterone looks acceptable. Most labs use immunoassays. We use direct free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC mega Siemens per mega Siemens. When symptoms persist, our thresholds are total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter, or free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter. Then comes the part that should never be optional, LH and FSH. Every time, high LH with low testosterone means primary hypogonad. The testes are failed. Low or normal LH with low testosterone means secondary hypogonad. The brain is not signaling hard enough. And that normal LH can fool people. If testosterone is low, LH should usually be rising up. If it just sits middle of the range, it can still be on tap. If your car is losing steam, they get all that sleep damage. This is why many medical-related people often do not image they something to opioid. Men on long-term tell me they can hear.
The usual lab pattern is low or inappropriately normal LH and FSH with low testosterone. That is secondary hypogonadism. The testes may be structurally intact, they are just understimulated. That matters because treatment should follow mechanism. If LH is below 8 and symptoms persist, enclomidophene is often a logical first-line option. It works at the hypothalamus by blocking estrogen receptors there, which increases GnRH, then LH, then testicular testosterone production. In plain English, it helps your own system work again. It preserves spermatogenesis and fertility. It maintains testicular function. It usually carries less hematocrit risk than TRT because you are not shutting the whole axis down with outside testosterone. And we use the purified isomer, not older mixed products that came with more estrogenic baggage. Can opioid-induced suppression improve if the dose is reduced or the medication is stopped? Yes, sometimes, but not on a neat schedule. Recovery can take months. The endocrine system has a long memory. It does not care that you are suddenly ready to get back on track. The next category is a little ironic. Testosterone itself can cause low testosterone once it is stopped. I see this with former TRT users and with men who used anabolic steroids for gym or physique goals. Different stories socially, same biology. When you take outside androgens, the brain sees plenty of hormone and turns down LH and FSH. Natural production falls, intratesticular testosterone falls, sperm production falls, testicular size often falls too. Then a man stops and expects the system to reboot right away. Sometimes it does, sometimes it really doesn't. For weeks, months, or longer, LH and FSH can stay low, and symptoms can be very real. Low libido, poor erections, fatigue, mood changes, training feels flat, recovery is worse. That is still secondary hypogonadism, unless later testing shows the testes are no longer able to respond. This is where the treatment conversation often goes wrong. More exogenous testosterone is not a recovery strategy if the goal is to restart natural production, especially if fertility matters. TRT has a place for documented primary hypogonadism, or for secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomidophene. But TRT suppresses gonadotropin, abundance and spermatogenesis. It is contraindicated in men seeking fertility. For a man with low or normal LH, intact testes, and a suppressed axis, enclomitophene fits the biology much better. And just to keep the record straight, VEDMA is a prevented men's health clinic. We are not built around defaulting everyone into TRT. Most real-world cases are not that simple. Then we get to the quieter medication stories. Finasteride and dutasteride do not always cause a dramatic drop in total testosterone, but they do change androgen signal by blocking conversion of testosterone to DHT. When I was younger in training, I used to think that if total testosterone looked normal, the hormone story was basically over. I was wrong. Some men on hair loss medication develop lower libido, erectile dysfunction, or altered sexual sensation, even when total testosterone is unchanged or only mildly changed. That does not mean every symptom automatically comes from the medication. It means the symptom deserves a real workup. Morning total testosterone, directory testosterone, LH, FSH, sometimes prolactin, sometimes thyroid. Not a casual, your labs are fine.
SSRIs are another common example. They can contribute to sexual dysfunction with or without biochemical testosterone deficiency. That distinction matters. Low desire and erectile problems are not always low testosterone. Sometimes they are medication side effects. Sometimes both are happening at once. Then there are prolactin-raising drugs. Elevated prolactin suppresses GnRH in men, which can create true secondary hypogonadism. That is why we check prolactin when testosterone is low and LH is low or normal, or when low sexual desire is a major complaint. Glucocorticoids can create a mixed picture. They can suppress central signaling, affect the testes directly, or reflect the burden of the illness they are treating. Ketoconazole and some steroid synthesis blockers can lower testosterone by interfering with hormone production itself. And chemotherapy, especially alkylating agents, can directly damage testicular tissue. When that happens, LH often rises because the pituitary is trying harder to stimulate the testes. High LH plus low testosterone, that is primary hypogonadism. And clomiphene is not appropriate there because damaged testes cannot be woken up by a louder signal. Now, obesity is not a medication, obviously, but in the clinic, it behaves like one of the strongest suppressors of the HPG axis. It is probably the most evidence-backed, modifiable cause of low testosterone in men. A very common patient is the guy who has gained abdominal fat over several years, sleeps badly, snores, feels less motivated, has more brain fog, and gets less out of the same workouts. He often thinks, my testosterone dropped, and that's why I gained weight. Sometimes that is partly true, but the relationship runs in both directions. Fat tissue contains aromatase, the enzyme that converts testosterone to estradiol. As body fat rises, estradiol rises. That feeds back on the brain. LH falls, testosterone falls, and visceral fat tends to increase further. It is a self-reinforcing loop. This is one reason obesity, metabolic syndrome, and type 2 diabetes so often travel with low testosterone symptoms. The European Male Aging Study showed that obesity is strongly linked to secondary hypogonadism. In type 2 diabetes, hypogonadotropic hypogonadism is common, and sexual symptoms often come along for the ride. Low libido, erectile dysfunction, lower morning erection frequency, less energy, worse body composition. Sometimes the hormonal issue is only one part of the picture, but it is still part of it. Yes, lifestyle change matters. Weight loss can improve testosterone. Better sleep can help. Better nutrition helps. Treating insulin resistance helps. If BMI is above 25, we look at insulin because the metabolic story is often sitting right next to the hormone story. But lifestyle alone does not reliably fix functional hypogonadism for most men. Average testosterone improvement is often modest, around 1 to 2 nanomoles per liter, and long-term weight regain is common. So telling a symptomatic man to just lose weight is not medicine. It is wishful thinking dressed up as advice. When LH is below 8 and the axis is suppressed but intact, enclomiphene plus lifestyle modification is often the best first step. If erection or urinary symptoms are also part of the picture, that is one setting where the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet can make practical sense. Heavy alcohol use belongs in a mixed category. It can suppress the brain, impair the testes directly, and change hormone handling through the liver. So the lab pattern can go either way. Some men show high LH from testicular injury. Others show low or normal LH from central suppression. Same complaint, different mechanism, different treatment path. And I want to put a few non-prescription drivers on the same table, because biologically, they count. Chronic sleep loss is a big one. The JAMA study by LaProlt and Van Cotter showed that 1 week of sleep restriction lowered daytime testosterone by about 10 to 15% in healthy young men. I don't need need the paper to believe it. I see it every week. Shift workers. Men on red-eye flights. Men who call 5 hours of sleep a grind season. The HPG axis is not impressed by your calendar. Chronic stress can do the same thing through cortisol and hypothalamic suppression. Endurance overtraining and chronic under-eating can also push testosterone down because the body stops prioritizing reproduction when it reads prolonged metabolic threat. Acute illness is different again. It can temporarily lower testosterone enough to mimic hypogonadism, which is why you should not diagnose low testosterone during a hospitalization, a bad infection, or right after surgery. Repeat the test after recovery. Otherwise, you can label a temporary state as a chronic disorder. Environmental chemicals like BPA, phthalates, PFAS, and some pesticides are probably better understood as risk amplifiers than as one-cause diagnoses in adult men. The mechanistic data are real. Proving that one exposure caused one man's low testosterone is much harder. A lot of guys hear all of this and think, fine, I'll just stop the medication and everything will normalize. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Opioids, anabolic steroids, metabolic disease, and chronic sleep loss can leave the axis sluggish for a while. You still need proper follow-up and repeat testing. Another common mistake is trusting one total testosterone value and treating it like the whole story. A man can have symptoms, a total testosterone that looks acceptable, and a low free testosterone that was never measured correctly. That is exactly why we prioritize direct free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC megasiemens per megasiemens instead of relying on a calculated value. This is another one I see most often. A man tells me his LH was normal, so his doctor said the brain must be working fine. Not necessarily. If testosterone is low, LH should usually be appropriately elevated. A normal LH in that setting may actually be inappropriately normal. In medicine, a normal number can still represent an abnormal response. And then there is the assumption that if TRT exists, it must be the answer for every low testosterone case. It isn't. TRT is appropriate for documented primary hypogonadism, or for secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomiphene. It is not for bodybuilding. It is not for anti-aging in men with normal testosterone. It does not prevent or treat type 2 diabetes on its own. And it is the wrong choice for men trying to preserve fertility because it suppresses gonadotropins and sperm production.
Educationally, it is also worth saying that TRT is not the cartoon villain some people make it out to be. The TRAVERSE trial, the largest randomized testosterone trial we have, followed about 5,000 men for roughly 33 months and found TRT was non-inferior to placebo for major cardiovascular events with no increased prostate cancer signal. So the issue is not panic. The issue is precision. Use it when it fits. Don't use it when it doesn't. And if a man is on TRT elsewhere, monitoring matters because elevated hematocrit is still the most common adverse effect. One more misconception. Men on finasteride sometimes get told your testosterone is normal, so the drug cannot be involved. That is too simplistic. Finasteride changes DHT and androgen effect, not just total testosterone. Maybe the medication is involved. Maybe it isn't. But one normal total testosterone does not close the case. So if you want a practical way to handle this, do a few things. First, make an honest list of everything that can affect the axis. Prescription medications, opioids, hair loss drugs, antidepressants, steroid use, supplements, alcohol, sleep, training load. If it came from a gym bag instead of a pharmacy, it still counts. Second, test correctly. Morning, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Fasting. And repeat if the result is low or the context was messy. Get total testosterone by LC megasiemens per megasiemens. Free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC megasiemens per megasiemens. And always LH and FSH. Then add estradiol, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, PSA if you're 40 or older, and insulin if BMI is above 25. When indicated, check prolactin, thyroid, and lipids. If you already have outside labs, including Function Health, our licensed providers across the U.S. can review them. But if LH and FSH are missing, the picture is incomplete. Third, classify the pattern before talking treatment. High LH plus low testosterone means primary. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone means secondary or functional. If LH is below 8, enclomiphene is often the first-line therapy because it works with the body's natural signaling and preserves fertility. If the pattern is primary, TRT may need to be discussed elsewhere. Fourth, if treatment starts, monitor it like an adult. We check follow-up labs after the first month, then every 6 months. Hormones are not a set-it-and-forget-it project. This series is built step-by-step. Last time, we covered the HPG axis. Today, we talked about the common things that push that axis down, sometimes quiet. Next time, we'll get into low testosterone symptoms, the complete list most men don't recognize. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to Veedma for free or order labs to our special offer at Veedma.com.